Hey there, welcome to another episode of Renegade Revolution Radio. Today we are going to continue our 5D trap conversation, and we're going to talk about spiritual ego. The best way for me to do this is to share a story with you. So that is what I will be doing. So if that sounds interesting, let's dive in. My dear fellow humans, we have been enslaved. We've been indoctrinated and conditioned to follow the status quo and live in accordance to societal expectations that we never agreed to or signed off on, but unconsciously obeyed. This is the matrix we have lived in for far too long. The good news is we are undergoing a massive awakening where we're discovering that we no longer have to play by these rules. We can revoke our consent and opt out. If you feel like you've been activated and want to break free from this matrix and stand in your divine sovereignty, then you've come to the right place, my friend. It's time to unleash your inner rebel, tap into your divine guidance, and rediscover your unstoppable power. This is how we escape the prison of the oppressors and expand our consciousness in the process. Join me on this journey. Let us explore this ascension together. Welcome to Renegade Revolution Radio, liberating humanity one podcast at a time. Let's dive deep, Renegades. Hey there, Renegades, and welcome back to another episode of Renegade Revolution Radio. Today, we are going to continue our Matrix series where we talk about the traps of the Matrix. And currently, we are in the 5D traps. So just like we've mentioned before, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, the traps, they exist in the 3D. But when you go up to the 4D and the 5D and above, they become more elusive. And so that's why it's important that we bring some awareness to them so that way maybe it can help us if we find ourselves falling into one of these traps or being presented with one of these traps. And the way that I've shared most of these traps with you is based on my own personal experience, because although I'm sharing my experience with you, I know that for many of us, it might just be part of our journey that we fall into some of these traps ourselves. So that way we have the experience of it and learn from it, right? So I'm not here to keep anyone from going down that journey. I'm simply sharing the experiences that I've had with it. So as we've done with every other trap, I would like to start this one by sharing a story with you as well, because this one is a perfect example of not only me being in this spiritual ego trap, but also one of the people that I was speaking to. So not too long ago, I was having a lovely dinner with some friends of mine, and these friends happen to be friends from business groups and business networking. It was not any type of spiritual community-based group, right? So the people who were at this dinner, the ladies who were at this dinner, were at different levels of spiritual growth and spiritual evolution. Some did not, you know, they were strictly business-focused and business-minded. They have no spirituality goals or endeavors at this time, right? So there's just different levels of spiritual development within this group, right? And so we were enjoying our dinner, and it did take a turn towards spirituality, which tends to happen when I'm at dinner with pretty much anybody. And so one of the ladies that was there, who is a friend of mine, and let's just for the sake of this conversation call her T. So T started to mention some of the things that she was experimenting with through her spiritual journey, right? And this happens to a lot of people as we come out of the 3D and 4D traps and we come into 5D and above, where we realize we're multidimensional, and then that opens up all of these modalities and these avenues and teachings and trainings and just all of these different things, right? That comes with learning about who we really are. So T was sharing her experience, mentioning all of the things that she was doing. And T is a person who is a business owner and is wealthy and has money. And so with money, there's so many new age modalities that you can be involved in, right? Or purchase or buy, right? Which, like, there's people out there doing energy clearings and manifestation classes and Reiki and Kundalini activation, chakra balancing. So T, as she was engaging in this conversation, was sharing a bunch of these modalities that she does, right? And one of the things that she mentioned was having her Akashic records read, where the person that was reading the Akashic records for her was telling her what planet or star system that she originated from and what she had spent her lifetimes doing, and, you know, during her incarnation here on this planet. And obviously this is extremely interesting, right? Like, I love hearing, you know, some of these stories that people find from either doing this inner work themselves and discovering it through inner journeys, right? Meditative journeys or plant-based journeys or having their Akashic records read or tapping into their Akashic records themselves, right? I find all of these extremely intriguing and extremely interesting. However, the point that I'm in now and even back then when I was having this conversation with these friends, I've developed a level of discernment while I'm obviously, you know, still growing that. I do feel that because of the level of discernment that I have, I can listen to stories people tell me about things like this. And I can immediately feel into, wow, that's a great modality that I'd like to experience. Or, that modality raises some red flags. Because as with any modality, especially if it's like a system or something that someone has created, I personally, from experience, because having gone through lots of things that were tainted by Team Darkside, I personally like to tap into the energy of who created that modality because it lets me know, okay, is this of the light or is this of Team Darkside, right? And not to say that some of the stuff that's Team Darkside, I won't read into because I like to study my opponents. So I do like to tap into what Team Darkside is doing. And I also know what parts of that kind of stuff I need to stay away from and I don't play around with, right? And I will say that I don't think everyone has built some of that discernment, especially those new to their spiritual journey in this lifetime, right? It takes some time and some experiences to build that discernment, right? And at the same time, that is part of the journey, right? So I just share that with you because in a moment I'll share my side of the story. So as my friend T is mentioning this, and as we're sitting in this dinner with other people, some of whom have not begun their spiritual journey in this lifetime yet, and others who are newly starting their spiritual journey, I see that some of the other people listening are intrigued by this conversation. And one in particular, let's call her S to protect identities, you know, S was extremely intrigued. And S is a very good friend of mine who has recently stepped into, well, not recently at this point, but back then, S had recently stepped into her spiritual journey, right? And having been through some of the things, she really did look to me as a mentor. And I really identified with that role as her mentor, right? And so as I'm watching the conversation and I'm seeing that S is getting very intrigued with what T is mentioning about the Akashic records and how that really helped her identify who T is, you know, at her essence, right? And what T's purpose is, right? As I'm watching this conversation unfold, having identified myself as S's mentor, internally, I felt the desire to say something to protect S from falling into what really did feel like a spell casting, which I think, I don't know if I have an episode on that yet, but basically our words are spells, all of us, right? We are master creators because we are the divine human, angelic human, like we have a lot of powers that a lot of people don't know about, but our words cast spells. And that's why it's detrimental to like talk ill will about yourself because you're actually creating the things you don't want. So that's another topic for a different day. But as I'm watching this conversation, I can see that what T is doing in the way she's speaking, and I don't necessarily think that this was on a conscious level. However, she was spellcasting, right? And there's nothing wrong with this because many of us, especially the ones that have very powerful communication skills, we are able to influence with the words that we speak. And many of us with this power, we don't realize the responsibility that comes along with it. This was me too. I used to be a speaker, in case you're not aware of that. And while all the things I spoke about were really about empowering business women, I now know that some of the things that I said regarding, you know, getting money and hustling and grinding, you know, might have sent some people on a trajectory that was not exactly aligned with their divine path, right? Or their spiritual path, because hustle and grind, while it might be okay for a season, if that becomes like your laser focus and tunnel vision, then it can really derail you from why we're really here on this planet, which is to heal, you know, and to continue our evolution of consciousness. So anyway, I could see that as T was sharing her story, and even though I know it was innocently done, it was casting a spell, and all of the other people at the dinner table were falling into the spell, right? They were falling into like a trance of like, ooh, I want to try that. Ooh, I want to try that. So as we're sitting there during this dinner was happening and I'm watching this play out, I felt the need to become like the mama bear of the group, right? I felt an inner desire, an inner calling. Now, I will say this inner calling was not divine calling or my highest self. This was ego, okay? I know that now. But back then in the moment, you know, I was just being present in the moment, right? And so without as much awareness and without sitting back as the observer, as I do better now, right? I've grown since then as well. And so at that moment, I felt the need to say something to kind of break the spell, right? And so I did. I spoke out and I said, hey, listen, this sounds great and all. However, I would really caution everyone that having someone else tap into your Akashic when maybe you don't know that person too well can be detrimental to spiritual growth. And I don't know that those were the exact words that I used, but it was something along those lines, right? I spoke out saying, hey, wait a minute, red flag here, playing devil's advocate, even though I don't really like that term, but you know what I mean? Batting for the other team. And I just broke the trance, right? That it seemed like everyone was under, just to say, wait a minute, this is not always a safe thing to do, right? Having someone read your Akashic records is not always safe. And by the way, I still stand by that word. It's not like I spoke out and spoke untruths, right? This was a truth, and this is a truth still, that you should have a certain level of discernment before you have anyone read into your Akashic. And, you know, there's lots that go into that, right? And I'll talk about that more in a moment. So I still stand by what I say. And now that I've had time to reflect on this, which by the way, right after the conversation was done, I was already starting to reflect on what had transpired. And once I spoke out, it wasn't like it made it awkward or anything like that. I think what it did was it did serve its purpose, which it kind of broke the spell. And then we talked about other things and then the, you know, conversation continued, but maybe not so in depth into, you know, some of the modalities. You know, it was more light and breezy without an undertone of energetic manipulation, right? I can see that now because hindsight is 2020, right? But in the moment, I was just going along with whatever was transpiring naturally, right? So I'm sharing this story with you because the story is a great example of spiritual ego. Not only was I in spiritual ego, but T was also in spiritual ego. We were both coming at it from a different way, right? A different path. However, we were both on the same path, right? Just different directions. So T was in spiritual ego because she had unlocked certain knowledge, right? Based on her spiritual journey and her spiritual growth and her spiritual evolution, she had unlocked a certain level of awareness, right? She was aware of much more than some people who were just newly into the spiritual path, right? She knew about these different modalities and all of that. And because T has money, right, has the resources, she was able to dabble in all of these spiritual modalities very quickly, whereas the majority of people might have to do one thing, like let's say, for example, buying expensive crystals. That's something T is hugely into, right? And T can do that because she's got the resources. Now, some other people who might like crystals but might not have the resources, they might have to buy one crystal and just wait and sit with it for a while before they go and they get another one, right? And I'm just mentioning crystals, but really this is about everything. T is able to do the Akashic readings with mentors, all of this with mentors, by the way. Even buying crystals was done with mentors in Sedona and I think in Costa Rica, which don't even get me started on the energy in Costa Rica. Anyway, so T was able to do and experience a lot of these spiritual modalities more so than the average person that's maybe not got the means to do so, right? And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's cool that you're able to experience all of that. And you see, your spiritual journey is extremely sacred. And what I mean by that is that when you're going through spiritual journey, you experience certain things at the time that it's right for you, right? You're called to certain things at the time that it's right for you, or you're called to certain things that are meant for you. In this world that we currently live in, there's just such a plethora of information, right? There's all these different ways that you can gain and get information and consume information. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, sometimes it can work against us if we let our ego run the show, right? If we get into that insatiable desire just to consume and consume and consume, that consumption can lead us astray or derail us from our spiritual track, our organic spiritual track. This is what happens a lot. Okay. This has happened to me as well. When we come into sometimes the spiritual journey and we are the kind of people who just want to get things done, right? T is very similar to me, right? As in we are very ambitious and we're very driven. And sometimes we can get too much in our heads and not enough in our heart. Right. And so what happens when that, when you're in a spiritual journey and you take on that kind of drive, that ego driven drive, since this world presents you with so much information regarding spirituality and the New Age spiritual community spews out so much propaganda, right? And all of these different things that we should all be trying out. What happens is we can start to try some of these things out. And some of these spiritual people that we're working with aren't so spiritual. Or they are, but they're tainted by Team Dark Side, all right? And what happens in cases like this, where we turn to these gurus, these mentors, these experts, these online, you know, salespeople, we can unlock certain knowledge or certain wisdom, but only through the use of others. You see what I'm saying? Like a spiritual journey is sacred in the sense that you are supposed to do the inner work and the inner healing yourself. And you're supposed to follow your inner guidance, not with ego, right? But with your inner guidance that is heart-based or soul-based or spirit-based and not ego-driven, right? And so then that leads you to the modality that you need to learn at that time. You know, it's not like you come into the online space and just see, okay, this mentor does chakra balancing. I'm going to purchase that. Okay, this one does Sedona trips to buy crystals. I'm going to purchase that. This person does Kundalini activation. I'm going to purchase that. And then you do it all at the same time, right? Without any kind of integration or embodiment or anything like that. This is very much the energy of consumerism. So on the 3D level, you see people that are obsessed with consumerism that have to buy something off of Amazon every single day. And like every celebrity that's wearing whatever new designer, right? Some of these people are so caught into that consumerism trap that they'll buy whatever just because the celebrity is endorsing it. This is the exact same thing on the spiritual level, right? You have these spiritual gurus and mentors that are saying, oh, buy this book or try this course or buy this this retreat weekend or do this, right? And then you find these spiritual people that are on their spiritual journey that will buy and purchase and buy into all of that, right? And it's like kind of similar to what I talked about on the last episode of a spiritual junkie, just chasing the next high. That's exactly what happens here, is that you have a spiritual person that's just chasing the next modality just to become more awakened, right? Not realizing that getting into all of these different modalities isn't what really helps you to awaken. Doing the inner work is what helps you to awaken, right? There are some people who have never done a Kundalini activation, that have never done a past life regression, and that have never done an Akashic record reading, right? And they are spiritually evolved more so than some of the others that have done all of these things, right? So the modalities isn't what causes the evolution of consciousness. You know, they can help for sure. There are some modalities that can definitely help. And if your heart leads you to one, that might help you in your spiritual growth. But if you're doing it just because it's the thing to do, or just because some influencer has influenced you or manipulated your energy into getting into that, then it could actually be detrimental to your spiritual growth, right? And that is what I saw at that dinner table that night, is I saw someone who was exuding the energy of a spiritual junkie that was sharing everything. Like it was almost like a spiritual word vomit. There was no discernment. There was no holding back. There was no biting the tongue. There was no conscious awareness that the words she was spewing out could have a detrimental impact on others around her, and actually was having a detrimental impact on her. I knew it back then, and I've seen it even more since then, right? And this is a friend. This is me observing now as a neutral observer. Now, these are all the ways my friend T, was in spiritual ego. Now, let me share with you how I, during that dinner, was also in spiritual ego. Same trap, same 5D trap, but just different ways of going about it, right? So I was in spiritual ego for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I was definitely judging her. You know, I was not a neutral observer during that dinner. Now I am a neutral observer. When I look back at it and observe where she was coming from when she was saying all of the stuff that she was saying, I now can see it neutrally, no judgment. at the dinner table that night, I was definitely in judgment. And I even knew I was in judgment the very next day, because that's why I reflected on this so much, right? I was in judgment because I saw that my friend was chasing the next spiritual high. And I saw that some of the things she was getting into, she was not evolved enough to realize that a lot of those practices that she was bragging about at the dinner were actually damaging her light body, right? I'll tell you why. One of the things that she mentioned, and I know she did this, she went to Costa Rica, and there is a very well-known facility in Costa Rica that administers plant-based medicine. Now, what's crazy is with plant-based medicine, originally, I believe that the people administering it in the past have been extremely sacred and have done it with pure intentions, right? And have done it responsibly. And now that it's become so popular and has become very well known, right? I do believe that there are those administering it and those who are the ones that retrieve the plant medicine that are completely misusing it, and even some that are intentionally abusing it, right? And so with that said, I do believe that there are some places that carry out these plant medicine journeys and ceremonies and rituals where very dark portals are being opened intentionally, and some unintentional dark energy or dark entity transference, right? And what I mean by that is sometimes when the practitioner or the person that's carrying out the plant ceremony doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't know how to set a grid properly, what happens is that when people come into that ceremony, and let's say you have one person that has like a dark energy that's attached to them, right? You can call it dark energy, you can call it dark entity, whatever you want to call it, right? They have that attached to them. And what happens is when they do the plant medicine and they purge, that dark energy and that dark entity can come out of that person and go into another person next to them, right? If the person that's administering, right, the shaman or whatever you want to call them, that's carrying out this ceremony doesn't know how to set protection grids, then what they're doing is anyone who comes into that plant medicine ceremony is susceptible to dark force manipulation. Okay. And this is very prevalent. This happens a lot. I've actually witnessed this myself in a plant-based Cambo ceremony where there's people who are unsuspected, and there's also gurus that are teaching it and that they don't know what they're doing, right? And so anyway, the reason that I point that out is because that was what was happening to my friend T, you know? And it still is unfortunately happening, because T has not learned the lesson yet that she has to be more protective of her light body, and also that she has to connect to the divine. Because that's another part of this whole thing, is that a lot of these gurus and experts that are, and shamans, right, fake shamans that are carrying out the ceremonies, they're not aligned with the divine, whatever you want to call the divine, whether you want to call it God source, whether you want to call it the Godhead, whether you want to call it mother, father, God, whatever you call the creator of all creation, right? A lot of these spiritual practitioners aren't aligned with it, right? And so when you don't align with the creator of all creation, where do you believe your power is derived from? You know, because that's a power. When you have access to this, these people who are teaching these modalities, right? This is a hidden knowledge, right? It's the word occult is what comes up a lot in the spirit, in the New Age community. And I know a lot of people who come from a religious background, you know, the word occult can be triggering, because in the religious community, that's like a no-no word, right? If you tell someone that you have occult knowledge, they think that you're practicing black magic or voodoo somewhere, like in a hidden dungeon. Well, really, occult, all that means is hidden knowledge, right? And there is a price to pay when you are granted access of this hidden knowledge, right? And so when you align with the divine, then the hidden knowledge that you are exposed to or that you have access to is from the light, right? It's occult, meaning it's hidden, but it's team light. And when you don't align with the divine, then what happens is, when you are on this journey of discovering this hidden knowledge, this occult knowledge, is that you are discovering occult knowledge, but that occult knowledge that you're discovering is aligned with Team Dark Side. And there is only two options. There's Team Light and there's Team Dark when it comes to this one thing, right? Other areas in life, there might be a bunch of different options and choices and all of that stuff. But when it comes to spirituality, there's light and then there's dark. And then that's really all there is. So unfortunately, what happens to some of us on the spiritual journey is that when we step into our spiritual journey and we find out about this occult knowledge, right? And it's beautiful most of the time because it's false light that we're first exposed to. When we chase that without doing the internal work, which will align us with the divine, then what happens is when we're exposed to this hidden knowledge, it's false light, right? They don't come out and show you just the dark side of things right off the bat. It's false light, meaning it's got some truth in it, but it's dripping with lies, right? But it is actually pretty interesting because you align with the truth, right? You feel that truth in it. And so you will start to chase that. If you don't do the inner work and align yourself with the divine, then that path will take you to the darkness, right? So that's what happens to some people when they start going into these modalities and chasing that high and without doing the inner work and aligning with the divine, is that they go down that rabbit hole of like the false light, which leads to darkness. And that impacts their light body, because some of these spiritual practices that they're talking about, like Reiki, for example, Reiki, if it's done the way that Reiki was designed to be done, right? There are some people that do Reiki that they just feel energy and they move it around. And so I wouldn't even call that Reiki really. But the fundamentals of real Reiki includes using symbols, right? And some of these symbols, what they do is they put a frequency fence around your light body. So what that does is it serves as a barrier between you and your maker, right? So that's why Reiki can be dangerous if it's done the way that Reiki was intended to be done, right? With these frequency fences. And so those types of things damage your light body, because when you put a frequency fence around your light body, which makes it so that it can't communicate with the divine and your highest aspect of yourself, then you're diminishing your light, you know? It's cutting yourself from source, right? So that's what a lot of these things do, right? For example, Akashic record reading. If you go to someone who is not a pure vessel, it is very difficult to access the Akashic, right? Especially for other people. So if someone's not a pure vessel, which it takes a lot of work to be a pure vessel, right? There's a lot of things that happen that can take you out of that. And so if you go to someone for Akashic record reading, especially these people who've made it their business, when someone makes any kind of spiritual practice their business, it's hard for them to get out of ego, because what happens is this is their business. This is how they make their means and their living in this world. And so many of them, if they're not in integrity, when they're having a time where they're going through their own dark night of the soul or their own spiritual evolution or their own questioning of reality or the illusion, right? When they're going through their own spiritual stuff, they're supposed to technically step away from doing the spiritual work, because at that time, their clarity is going to be hindered just a little bit, okay? Some a lot of it, right? But some, even just a little bit, if their clarity is hindered, they should not be doing any kind of energetic work, because then they can derail you from your track if they're not giving you accurate information, you see? So that's why some of these people who are doing the spiritual practice as a business, and you see that they never shut down, right? They never say, hey guys, I'm going to put a stop to the business for now, and I'm going to take a little break to do the inner work myself, right? If they're saying that, hey, that sounds like someone with some integrity. But if they're never saying that, and if they're always like, oh, I'm always available for one-on-one sessions and doing Akashic records and Reiki and blah, 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 all of this stuff, right? Without ever taking a break, that person is manipulated by Team Dark. It's a guarantee, because you have to continue the self-work and you have to take periods off of doing energetic healing to others, because that takes a little bit of your energy, right? It does. And you can always get it back, and that's not a problem. But if you're never taking breaks, then where are you getting your energy from to do all this work all the time, nonstop, you know? So that's always a red flag when you see these people that are just going in the spiritual community. But back to what I'm saying about my friend and her diminishing light body. Now, can she come out of it? Of course. I've been there. You know what I mean? I've done things that I was like, okay, this is like taking my energy. And that's what this all boils down to, is that the practices that you're doing in spirituality that take your power from you and put it on someone else. So anytime you need to say like, oh, I'm having a down day, I've got to call my energy healer, I've got to call my Reiki practitioner, ooh, I've got to get with that person that does the Akashic record readings and see if we can do some past life stuff and see where in my past life I had this issue, right? And like, you can't go forward in your life and do your own thing without this other person being an intermediary. That should be a red flag, because spiritual evolution and the evolution of consciousness has to do with sovereignty. And so if we are diminishing our sovereignty, then we are in a trap. And you can almost always find that. That's not saying we can't sometimes call on someone else to help us see a blind spot. That's not what I'm saying. Calling on a mentor or somebody like that to help you see a blind spot or mirror back to you what you need to see, there's nothing wrong with that. And usually those best teachers will give you a question. They won't answer something for you. They'll give you a question that makes you reflect and come up with your own evaluation and introspection of it. They won't tell you like, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. That's how the 3D works. And there's nothing wrong with formulas when it comes to 3D practices, right? Or something, for example, like breath work, right? There's nothing wrong with someone saying, hey, for breath work, these are the steps you take. Or for meditation, this is like the way to meditate, A, B, C steps, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But if someone's telling you, hey, on this next level of your spiritual practice, you need to start doing transcendental meditation, right? They're telling you what modality you need to do. And then you have to keep coming back to them to know which modality to go to next, right? That is a red flag because your inner compass should guide you onto your next step. No one should be sitting here and telling you, well, you got to go from point A to point B to point C to point D, right? Because no one has that authority over you. You have agency over yourself, right? You have sovereignty over your own experience. So that's usually something that you can look for that is diminishing your light body. Anything that takes your power out of you and then you have to become reliant on someone external to you that has their own issues, right? And could be flawed, you know? That's usually a red flag. So anyway, back to me and my spiritual ego. I was judging my friend. Even though I saw her light body diminishing, I was still in judgment over her experience. And because I felt like I was a mentor to my other friend S, right, who I could see was falling into the trance of the spell being casted by T, I felt the need to step in as a savior of S. And as a savior of all the other ladies in that dinner, right, that were also falling into the trance. And that, my friends, is part of the hero savior programming, right? This is a trick of the matrix, right? And it targets people like us who are, if you want to call us light workers, star seeds, those of us that are really into this evolution of consciousness. That programming, the hero savior programming, it's geared towards us. You know what I mean? Because naturally, we have a tendency to be magnetizing and influence, right? It's something that's very innate in most of us that are light workers, right? And out of innocence, because we love to see others do well and we love to see others move forward and we love to see others progress, right? Naturally, and most of the times we're leaders, right? Whether we're introverts or extroverts, it doesn't really matter. But most of the time we're leaders just based out of necessity, based out of we are the ones that we know how to lead very well. So we sometimes might identify with that, which can be an ego identification and can also make us fall into a trap. And so this hero savior programming, it ran deep in me, right? So there are still times where I have to observe myself and think like, okay, hold on a second. My job is not to save anyone. My responsibility isn't to, you know, be the messiah for everyone, right? That's a programming that I need to break free from. And so I have to clear myself of it many times, right? And then I have to observe when it comes up again, the opportunity to, you know, step back into that identity so that I'm careful not to, or conscious that I don't step back into it, right? But that was what was happening to me during that dinner, is that I felt the need to save all the other women there because I knew better. So I wanted to be the savior for them, right? So that's why I said that. Now, the truth is that when we're trying to save others, we're really manipulating energy. That is part of Team Darkseid's MO. That is how they operate. And I don't want to do anything that manipulates the energy of others, because the truth of the matter is that it's not my job to save us, right? I might think I'm saving her by saying, hey, S, don't go down the path of Akashic record reading because you don't know who's tapping into your Akashic, and your Akashic is super powerful. So you really don't want anyone looking at it, you know? That's truth. And it's not my job to make sure that S doesn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, that might be part of S's journey, that someone taps into her Akashic and she feels the resonance of Team Darkseid hitting her Akashic records, right? And then she realizes, okay, I can never do this again. You know, that might be part of her learning experience. And who am I to take that away from her, you know? So sometimes we think we're saving people when in fact we can be doing more damage than good, because it might have been a lot easier for her to fall into that trap and realize it and feel it out of her own personal experience. And then she knows for a fact, like, I don't want to do that thing, right? Versus me telling her. And so now it's like, well, I kind of don't want to do that thing because Sarah said it, but she doesn't have the experience of knowing it for herself, because it's a lot easier to stand in your truth when you know something based off your own experience, because no one can talk you out of that. See, I talked her out of tapping into the Akasha, but next she could have another conversation with someone else who's maybe more powerful than I am at influence, and they could be saying, go do it. And because she didn't learn from her own personal experience, she might be inclined to do it, right? Which, by the way, that's her journey, so that's fine. And I've cut all cords because I don't want to pay any karmic debt for that information. So I've personally cut the cords and offered to pay whatever karmic debt right away, so that way I'm not carrying this into another lifetime, because I'm trying to graduate this earth school. I do not want to come back here again. Anyway, another story for a different day. But you know what I mean? So this has been something I'm really working on myself, is that I really am trying my best to observe and to notice when I'm falling back into that hero savior complex, because it's not my job to manipulate energy and it's not my job to control anyone else's journey, right? Everyone that is an adult, right, they have the right and they have the sovereignty over their own experience. If our creator granted us free will, then we should have the grace to grant others free will to go about their journey however they need to go about it, right? So one last thing that I will share about that dinner is that I do believe that everything happens the way it is supposed to happen, right? And I have no regrets or shame or guilt or blame or anything like that regarding what transpired during that dinner, because I do feel that I've learned a lot from that experience. There was no need for me to judge, right? There was no need for me to step in and pretend to be someone's savior. I was meant to witness the conversation and the manipulation of energy and the spell casting during that dinner, because just my essence, my presence, my being, that served as the alchemy for this conversation, right? If there was any dark manipulation of energy during that dinner, just by me being there and standing in my truth and in my light, that served to transmute, to alchemize that energy. My ego didn't need to interfere. The ego was the one that said, ooh, you're in the savior programming, right? It notified me of that. And then I spoke from that ego place, right? But I didn't need to do that. Ego likes feeling better than, right? Above everyone else. Like, ooh, I know that. I got this. You know, ego loves that. Ego thrives in that, because better than others feels safe to the ego. And that's all that ego is chasing after, is that feeling of safety and comfort. So I'm grateful for that experience where I saw and I was able to observe what happened, in hindsight, of course, of my ego stepping in to run the show. And it really helps me to learn that anytime I have that same feeling of needing to step in and save others, that is coming from ego. And I need to just reassure the ego that, hey, listen, I got this. We are safe. I don't need to manipulate the energy of others and control the show. And I am going to run this show, right? I, the observer, not the ego. So this is all part of spiritual journey. All right, we're learning as we go. We're all going to have experiences, but I wanted to share the story with you because spiritual ego is one that's easy to get into, and it's also one that's easy to come out of once you have the awareness that you're actually getting into it, right? So I hope this helps. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the 5D trap of spiritual ego. We're going to continue with some more 5D traps. I know that a lot of people want to talk more about these Kundalini activations and the Reiki and all that stuff. So I think I'm going to have an episode that's going to just kind of cover all of those just really briefly and how they're traps of the 5D plus. So we're going to have our next conversation around that and how these things, these modalities are more of a trap nowadays in the spiritual battle that we're in right now. They are more of a trap than they are of any type of help towards spiritual evolution or consciousness growth. So join me on the next episode when we talk about that. And until next time, rest, recover, and recharge, renegades. Hey, renegade, thanks for listening. If you like what you're hearing here on Renegade Radio, do me a favor and help me get the word out to our fellow renegades searching for community. I'd greatly appreciate you dropping me a 5-star review. Then share your favorite episode on social and be sure to tag me so I can thank you. Let's get this renegade revolution started and help liberate humanity one podcast at a time.